Bobby Bombs, you're muted.
Muted. This thing, like, right at the end of the video, it says your browser has lost connection to your mic. And I'm like, what the fuck? Of course it did. Here we go, Barflies. Welcome to already know it's live. It's done by Barflies, for Barflies, and all the other Bears fans out there. Yo, I might get as much playing time as Andy Dalton today. So we'll see how this goes. Hopefully that's the case. I mean, you know, he's done. But it's your last Sunday, boys. It's the last Sunday without NFL football until, what, until February? And, you know, we're ready to do this. You know, all the drama, all this shit going on and whatever. It's all there, you know. I mean, there's the whole Nagy haters and how could he do this are out, and Field, he's not starting, and Danny Trevathan now has a magical IR for 3 weeks, and it's everything that we expected the beginning of the season to be. So let's kick this thing around the room real quick and start it off. Let's start with Mr. Ryan Badge. Badgemon, Badge, what up, dude?
Yo, what's up, man? Welcome back, Sunday. Welcome back, Mr. Bobby Bombs. Good to have you back, dude.
I'm still dying.
AC, what's up, man? Fresh off a college football Saturday. You know, there was some good games yesterday. I know AC and I were talking here just before we came on. We were lucky enough to have our teams win this weekend. I unfortunately for my Syracuse Orange, I think that's one of maybe three or four wins that they'll get on the season. But you know, it's a nice long weekend, Labor Day weekend. Everybody that's been working their ass off all year should enjoy this weekend. All you fucking dirt balls that have been mooching off the government, get your ass a fucking job and get back to work.
Everybody's tired.
I've been doing that for 21 fucking years. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, me too. Actually longer than that, but
and then we got the bearded Bears fan, Mr. Aaron Curran, AC in the place to be, the Kentucky kid. What's up, dude?
What's going on, fellas? As everybody knows, I got season tickets to see my Kentucky Wildcats this year. So we went to the first game yesterday. I'm hoping I'll still be able to do this show on Sundays after we play big games, because I don't know how my voice is going to be. But we kicked the shit out of UL Monroe yesterday, as we were supposed to, which is nice, because usually Kentucky will let teams like that hang around with them. And as you can see, your boy got a little bit of sun. So hopefully that'll tan over and I'll be looking all right for the fall. But yeah, it's a great weekend. College football's kicked off, and Badge, hey, Clemson's O-line did not look very strong, so you might have a shot whenever Syracuse plays them. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, Baber's first year here was great, the last year of Eric Dungy. Since then, I mean, Tommy DeVito yesterday was 11 of 17 for 90 yards. It's like watching a Mitch first half in a Nagy-led offense. This up-tempo Syracuse offense that they try to run and still try to run. I just don't understand it. It's being an SU fan and being a Bears fan is very similar. It's kind of like one and the same. You know, both of your teams, you usually have high expectations for, and then there's monumental letdowns throughout the season. And then every once in a while, you'll have a bright spot. 2018 for the Bears, I think it was 2016 for the Orange, or 2017 maybe. It's been a while for anything good sports wise to come to my house. The 09 World Series, that with the Yankees winning the World Series, was the last time something good sports wise happened for me.
Well, I'm sure everybody in the chat's like, we don't want to hear about old college ball. Let's talk Bears, so we can move along.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Bobby's going to pop off and switch to his phone, we think. So,
all right. I'm a little tired today because I stayed up all night watching. Like, I was watching everything. I watched Georgia and Clemson, and I watched LSU go down to UCLA, which – I thought it was good because I thought LSU was overrated anyway, and we play them later this season too. So,
yeah.
Excited for college ball.
To start off today's show, will the Bears get clobbered or just lose against the Rams?
Man, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess we can hop right into it and talk about this quarterback controversy that every fan can see, but apparently our GM and head coach cannot see. Because, I mean, even my dad called me the other day. I was at work, and he was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" Blah blah blah. Now, I think he was drunk. I'm not positive, but that's—I mean, that's like saying my dad's breathing air. But he was like, "You think Justin Fields should start?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I think Fields should start. You seen him play? I mean, you know what he gives you." He was like, "Well, Andy Dalton, yeah, Andy Dalton ain't doing shit." Blah blah blah. I was like, "Yeah, yeah." He was saying it sarcastically, and he was like, "Well, what if you put Fields in and he gets hurt?" I was like, "It's football, man. You gotta put your best players on the field, and if somebody gets injured, then they get injured. But you gotta put your best players out there. You can't bubble wrap them. You know what I'm saying?" So
yeah, man. I mean, this whole thing, dude. I mean, I know I shared Berlissimo's thread, George Bayless, the other day. I mean, he's been on this from the jump about Coach Nagy and his lack, you know, from everything. I mean, from scapegoats to play calling to his mismanagement, time management with the clock, you know, I mean, just everything. And then there was another article from BDR Ozzy, A Bear Down Under, basically talking about the same thing that I shared this morning, which is really pretty much, you know, the same thing that George was getting into. If you haven't seen either of those articles from those guys, I highly recommend you check them out. And because it kind of gives you a little bit of a background, you know, into their thoughts on how things have gone since Nagy came in here. And guys, I know we talked about it in 18 and 19 and 20, and we've talked about it all off season and stuff. And I know I'm sick of talking about it, but the expectations, you know, from 18 to 19 were humongous, right? You have 18, you're 12-4, you make the playoffs, everything is great, everything goes good, like all that, right? And then you get to 19, Bears 100, it's their 100th anniversary, yeah. You know, there's thousands of Bears fans.
Kicking off the season against the Packers.
Yeah. Well, that was the biggest buildup for fucking, like...
For shit.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
shit, you yeah. know? And it's just gotten, like... I you know, in the articles, it pointed out, you know, the fact that, you know, two out of the last 3 years, the Bears have made the playoffs. Okay, big fucking deal. Good. Yay. Playoffs. Yeah, we were fucking 8-8. Whoopee. We stunk. We looked half of what an NFL team should look like against a team that was completely beatable. Mm-hmm. Like, playoffs isn't enough. I mean, I'm sorry, and I'm going to fucking bring this up. And I don't really care. Fucking Aaron Rodgers said it this week, his comments about the Packers and this season, it's Super Bowl win or bust. That's the fucking problem with the fan base and this organization is, oh, we made the playoffs. No, it's Super Bowl or bust every goddamn year.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. And it just doesn't seem like this organization wants that. They're okay going out here and putting a guy as the head coach who doesn't have a clue. He may be a player's coach and he talks to the players great. Whoopty shit. It's not resulting into performance on the field. I mean, you can look at every position group and see a high draft pick that had potential that under this fucking organization has turned to shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's
and the sad thing is, yeah. Justin Fields, as excited as we all are to see him, may have, because they're playing this like they've got longevity. You know what I'm saying? It's not like their job's on the line; they have to win now, or they're going out the door. It's like I don't know if they've already told them, like, yeah, we're gonna let you guys see this thing through with Justin Fields, because I mean, otherwise, why? I don't know any other reason why you would look at their performance through the preseason, which is in essence everything you have to go off of. And I'm assuming that they're doing the same things in practice, and the other players know how this is going. And I mean, we saw it with Mike Glennon and Trubisky. The players knew that Trubisky was the better quarterback. And you saw how Akeem Hicks treated Mike Glennon, which I can't blame him for that. I mean, the players know who gives them the best chance to win. So, I mean, I've about had it with Matt Nagy. And it seems like he's got security with his job for some
reason. Yeah, it does. It does, for sure. And, I mean, they've gone out of their way to not tell you what the contract is of those two. The whole organization has gone out of their way to not release what the Nagy contract is, what the Pace contract is. And it's, you know, it's something that people were asking last season and the season before, to see where and when is like the exit strategy could come into play. Right. And the organization as a whole has specifically said that they're not going to mention what the contracts are, and where those guys sit. And this whole, like, you got two sides of fans, right? You got the fans that are saying that Fields isn't starting because the offensive line is shit and there's not enough protection there for him, right? And they don't want to get him hurt, which is fucking bullshit. And then, I mean, both sides, I guess, are kind of bullshit. Then you got the second one that are saying that Nagy's not starting Fields purposely in order to, for longevity, right? And to keep him around next year. I mean, either way you look at it, that's a fault on Pace and Nagy. I mean, if you're not starting the guy because your offensive line isn't good enough, well, then that's your fucking GM's fault and your offensive line and your head coach's fault for not making them good enough. If you're damn not going to start a guy because you're trying to keep an extra year, why are you worried about your job? Because you haven't been that fucking good. So either way, it all comes back to those two and where we sit. And I don't know, man, this whole, like, you know, Dalton is our starter shit, it just feels like it's just stupidity, honestly. Like how?
Yeah.
Wait, let me do this real quick. Just because he hopped in, Mr. Ryan Kirkland Billings, KB, the fireman on the scene. What's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? Man, I didn't caught the portion of what was going on, man. And you know, I got some things to say about it. Because I'm on the stand of, you say you don't want to start somebody because the O-line being bad. Understandable. You don't want to ruin your rookie quarterback. But on the same point, let's throw Andy Dalton, the less mobile quarterback of the two, out there behind the shit line and get him killed. So what happens when Andy Dalton gets hurt the first game against the Rams because he can't get away from Aaron Donald? And then Justin Fields is out there anyway. I don't get this whole bubble wrap somebody. If he's the better quarterback, which he is, you play your better quarterback. He can make up for a bad line being bad because he's mobile. He can move the pocket. He can get away from the rush, so on and so forth. It's common sense. It's common sense. Like I said, you're going to put a statue out there and he's going to get broken half. I mean, it is what it is. So to me, they do want to start him. They just want to sacrifice Andy Dalton in the process.
Yeah, I guess that's a possibility, but I don't know, man. Like, you're not making the best choice for the team.
Well, I saw something earlier this week about Olin Krutz, I guess, on his podcast with McKee, No Name Podcast. If you guys haven't checked it out, check it out, because it's a pretty good show. And he was talking about how Justin Fields hasn't completely mastered the ability to set his protection right. And we saw it in the Buffalo game when he got drilled and he came out and said it himself, you know, I didn't set it up right. That was on me. So I guess he's still got some things to learn. And Olin Krutz was like, yeah, don't just throw him out there because teams are going to be able to confuse him, I guess. But I mean, I don't know. I'm still on the side of putting your best players out there. Who's and that? Overall, just to call the protection.
You know what I mean? Like, so Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, who was picked after Justin Fields, those guys aren't going to face those same things, but yet we're not going to start the number 11 pick of the first round of the NFL draft, but those other teams are going to. And I'm telling you right now, if Trey Lance hadn't have been hurt, I guarantee goddamn you he's the starter in San Francisco too.
Oh, he'll be the starter week five, I think. So,
I honestly think yeah, as a Bears fucking fan and as a fan base too, we look for reasons of why it's going to be better later instead mm-hmm. of why can't it be like, why can't we do our best right now? I mean, for people to actually buy in, right? To buy into the, after seeing the play of both of them, to buy into this, Justin Fields isn't ready yet, I think is shit, man. I mean, like, look, yeah, I get it. He didn't move a fucking the line. He didn't shift protection and he got fucking blasted. Good. Like, welcome aboard. Learn. Welcome he's gonna aboard, learn. Motherfucker. Like,
he learned the same game because they did the same blitz with a DB and he fucking identified and dropped it off. I mean, when do you see that out of any Bears quarterback?
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and take anything away from I love Olin Krutz and Jason.
Right,
I
right.
think it's a phenomenal podcast. Those guys have played this game at the top level. I fucking played high school football. So for me to sit here and try to say I would never even attempt to debate Olin Krutz. That just would never happen to me.
But you get punched in the mouth.
I don't totally deserve it. But at the same time, as a fan who has been with this organization since, you know, for 36 years, 37 years, whatever, and having very minimal success, you want to see the best players on the field to win. And as a coach, that's what you're there to do. Whether you're a paid coach, a volunteer coach, whatever it is, you want, yes, at younger levels, every kid's got to play, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. But as you get higher up, it's about winning games, and you put the best 11 players on offense, defense, and special teams out there to win you football games. And when you're not doing that, you're not going to have success in shit like last year where you had to switch offensive coordinators and change your whole offensive scheme to get the best out of your quarterback. That's what should be done in the fucking first place. You get the best out of the players on your roster. And if you have to change things to do that, you do that. You're here to win football games. That's what you're here to do. It's not about
to win
you.
The game.
You know what I mean? That BU, stick BU right here. Because that's not what it's about. It's about the team. It's a team sport. It's not tennis or, you know, any of these other sports, pool, fucking whatever else. It's 11 guys working together to make an impact and make a play. And the coaching staff is there to help and put those players in the best situations possible. And everybody on this fucking coaching staff hasn't done that. And
I mean, how many
across the board?
How many more scapegoats are we going to get this year? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I mean, before it was fucking...
It'll be Sean Desai. They've already started setting it up.
Yeah, before it was Mitch, then it was Heastan, then it was, you know, this and that, and the offensive line coach doesn't know how to coach. Like, the fuck out of here. Like,
hey, man, let it be what it is, man. Next year, we're going to have Brian Daboll from fucking Buffalo to be the damn head coach. I'm calling my shot now. If Nagy is fired this year, the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator needs to be the next head coach of the fucking Bears. He needs to be the one that groomed fucking Justin Fields. Because that's him. I've seen what that man did with Mitchell Trubisky and got him to look like a decent fucking quarterback.
Can we get Allen
to be an MV fucking P.
Can we get a Dabo and Dabo? A Dabo and Dabo?
Hey, whatever you say. Whatever fucking name. BD.
No, I'm talking about Sweeney and Brian.
Oh. Hey, hell, I'll take it. I will take it. Man, but...
Sweeney ain't living in Clemson. He makes too much money.
Fucking, oh, shit. After what happened last night.
He got right. It went home and wiped his tears with all of his money. He was perfectly fine, I promise you.
Let me ask you guys this though, right? So we've only touched offensive side, right? So one of the other hot topics in the Chicago media this week was the media's pissed that Akeem Hicks isn't talking to him. Right? Now, I know Akeem Hicks is hoping to get a long-term contract extension to end his career as a Chicago Bear. So, obviously, his agent was in town during camp. You haven't heard anything from that. So, maybe that's a part of the reason why Akeem isn't talking. But how much is it of, I mean, think back to when Mike Glennon was the starting quarterback here, right? And Akeem Hicks was not a Mike Glennon fan, knew that Mike Glennon did not give this team the best chance to win, right? Mm-hmm. And on the sidelines, after Glennon was benched, Glennon got in Akeem's way, and Akeem damn near ran
got right him out over, of the way.
Get the fuck out of my way, right? Akeem Hicks is a guy who he wants to win. He wants a Super Bowl. And he's sitting here and looking at this, and he's recognizing over Matt Nagy's tenure here. Now, granted, Mike Glennon was John Fox, but look at what's happened. So you had Mitch and John Fox. Akeem Hicks is here. Mike Glennon is terrible, yet he's still in the NFL. I should have played quarterback, for fuck's sake, because I could be making a boatload of money doing nothing right now. Then you move ahead. So they go and they get Mitch, right? And they bring in Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray to be his backups. So Mitch gets hurt in that 18 season. Chase Daniel, Bobby, we witnessed it in person in New York. Giants game. Chase Daniel, fucking.
Yeah.
Come on.
He is what you thought he was.
He is what you thought he was. Then you fast forward to the next year. Now Chase Daniel's gone, and it's Nick Foles and Tyler Bray. And it's a pile of shit. So Akeem Hicks is sitting here going, man, I've been here all this time, and it's the same shit. I'm not talking to anybody.
But that's
here
the
now
shit that,
is Andy Dalton.
See, this is the shit that this is the only thing that kind of confuses me about Nagy. Like, you got Hicks that's wanting a new contract. He wants to stay here. You got Long, who was like, well, I've fucking left and I'm not going back there. Maybe for long, it was more personal with the way that Nagy dealt with him on the plane after the Houston game, I think, where they told him that, hey, you're done. So that's the part where I'm like, because, you know, obviously you don't get to see a lot of it and you don't hear a lot of it. But my question is, like, do the players really want to play for this dude? And I know from a fan perspective, we're all like, yo, fuck this dude. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's doing, da 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 da. But then you got guys like Hicks that are trying to get a new contract. So do the players really want to play for this dude? And do they believe in this system that takes 3 fucking years to master and you know, Mitch just couldn't grasp it and da da da, whatever, right?
But that's a crock of shit, too. He's coming in here. Oh, this is a 3 to 4 year system. Well, so Andy Dalton knows this system
as
a quarterback. It's a 3 to 4. I mean, Allen Robinson's been here 3 to 4 years. What other wide receiver has been here 3 to 4 years? Nobody. I'm sick of this motherfucker, dude. Like all this. Oh, the why. And I got to talk to Mike Schaefer, man. I want to get a shirt on our shop talking about the whys. So that way we can all wear this shirt for every game and after every press conference and just rock this shirt. Just a big why, you know, just
dude,
a word why.
Next time, when I retire from the military and I get another job, I'm gonna just tell them, like, yo, it's gonna take me 3 to 4 years to learn this. I'm gonna need you guys to stick with me. Just pay me anyway, but I'm gonna fuck up a lot. I just need about 3 years.
Collaborative effort.
Oh fuck
yo,
man.
Ah, man.
But that
right,
is
so
the
hang on.
That is the part well, that's
gotta,
got me though. Like, why would Hicks want to come
in
back?
My guy though. I gotta bring in my guy, man. My guy Mikey Betts. All right, we're gonna talk some Bears with Mikey, and then he's got a great thing going on that we'll get into in a little bit. But first of all, his debut on the Barfly Tailgate Show. Here he is, right here, our man Mikey Betts.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show, my man.
What's going on, Mikey?
How's everybody doing?
What's up, man? We're just over here.
I heard you guys talking about
same conversation.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Nagy, bro. That's, dude, he's shot. I don't think anybody trusts that guy. And I don't think anybody trusts Pace, bro. That guy, oh, I heard you guys talking. I was like, dude, what a, here we go.
Same shit, different Sunday.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. let me ask you this, man. So like us, right? You're an outsider looking in, right? And as you sit here and you look at what's transpired in this organization, in this new regime of Pace and Nagy, where is the hope for you for this season with these two guys here?
I'm going to sound like a dick here, but I really hope that I know that the plan is they're not going to let him start. They're not going to let him play week two. They're not going to let him play week three. They're not going to let him play week four. They have this weird plan. I feel like, dude, the only way it's going to happen is if Dalton like throws three picks a game or somebody injures him or somebody gets him out of the game. And then the only hope I have is Justin Fields getting into the game. There's no other chance I see. I could swear on here, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What the fuck? What is this O-line going to – what is Andy Dalton going to do with this O-line? He's slow as dirt, bro. I don't understand that. That makes zero sense to me. At least when you have Justin Fields back there, he can get out of here. My brain is so – every time I hear these guys talk, I get more confused. Every time I hear Pace and Nagy talk, I get more confused. Oh, I think that we have a great plan and a great strategy. The plan has been here for 6 years, and we had seen 5 different quarterbacks. Where do you see that anywhere else?
I don't. Everything's fluid. It's fluid.
What GM do you get five fucking quarterbacks? Oh, sorry.
It's a collaborative effort.
Yeah, man, it's a show.
First of all, I love the pictures in the background, bro. As soon as we put it up on full screen, I see fucking Chappelle's with the crack lips, bro. I'm
that's
dying over
here. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
I smoke rocks. That's how I feel listening to Nagy. I smoke rocks.
Yeah, but, exactly. I smoke rocks, Joe Rogan.
It's like you're saying, man, I feel like this is the plan. This is the plan. Maybe they're so smart, they're making us feel dumb. Maybe the plan is really is to put Dalton out there so Dalton can get broken half so we can put Justin Fields out there in the first week. Maybe that is the plan.
But we saw it in the preseason, man. If they're at Soldier Field and Dalton is struggling, there is no freaking way the Boo Birds are not going to be out in full force.
You know what I'm saying? Preseason game for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, a meaningless game and everybody's booing. Why? Because, again, the first half offense – didn't do a fucking thing. It's Nagy's MO. Oh, but then they wake up in the second half.
Yeah, they wake up in the second half because a real quarterback takes over. I mean, I don't know what else to say, man. Like I said, maybe we're so dumb as fans that they're pulling this fast one on us, and this has been the whole plan altogether. Let's roll Andy Dalton ass out there, get Andy Dalton killed, and make it so this man that we show that we tried. We failed because he was hurt, and now Justin Fields takes over from week one and goes forward that way. That's the only thing that makes sense to me.
They're playing chess. We're playing checkers. Yeah, damn.
Exactly. I mean, I'm a Madden GM right now. You know what I'm saying? That's all I
see.
That's all I'm seeing in my head. I'm a Madden GM. You know, in my franchise, Justin Fields has 5,000 passing yards and 50 touchdowns. I'm just going off of what I know as a Madden player.
That's all the evidence I need.
That's all I need, bro.
I don't show me any other GM that has had five fucking quarterbacks and like I just like why are you still here? What is going on? Why is Nagy? And I hate that Nagy gets on the podium every single time and acts like he's like, hey, listen, kids, let me tell you what. The worst one was, hey, did you promise Andy Dalton the job? He goes, here's the thing. Promises could get a little tricky. Dude, like, imagine like you go to your – you cheat on your wife or something like, oh, hey, cheat on – hey, here's the thing. Promises. Tell us what it is. Everything is always like fucking lukewarm and sugar-coated. There we go, sugar-coated. Stupid. I get so mad, bro.
Like, yeah, did I say those vows? I was, what had happened was, when the thing, and then she called, and,
tequila, man, yeah. Do something, tequila. <you know. laughs>
That's every great story for every lie. Yeah. See what happened was. Let me stop you.
But let's say there's the hypothetical chance that Justin Fields gets in there. I at least trust him way more than Dalton with that O-line. And I feel like that O-line would want to play for Justin Fields more. You see that the players can probably rally around Justin Fields more than Andy Dalton. I feel like, have you guys ever seen Spice Adams, the What Kind of Player Are You? And it's like the corny team captain. I feel that nobody voted for. I feel like Mitch was that, like, come on, guys, we can do this. And it's like nobody really wants to rally around him. And the same thing goes for Dalton. Nobody wants to rally around these, like, Mike Lennon. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I feel like they're fake captains, and they're only the captains that are the quarterback. I think it's just stupid.
The thing that cracks me up, guys, is so Dalton throws – a preseason touchdown pass. He had to play the whole first half in order to accomplish this feat. He throws the touchdown to Rodney Adams, right? Now, the catch was better than the throw, and the catch and run is what resulted in the touchdown, right? Now, Andy Dalton essentially got lucky, but as a head coach, let's point to that as, oh, Andy Dalton, I mean, you know, made a good throw, saw that the yeah, thank you, Rodney Adams, for pulling the ball off of the defender's helmet and not allowing it to bounce off. And
right.
Then,
and what congrats, Rodney Adams. Go to the practice squad. What the fuck is that?
That too. After initially, yeah, but don't get me started. Roster. But
we'll bring in Perryman, yeah. who's been injured everywhere he's been and underachieved from his draft status, but we're gonna let Rodney Adams, who's done everything right this whole preseason, go to our practice squad. I mean, thank God he cleared waivers and we were able to get him back. I feel like if you guys wanted to move on, we can start talking about some of these cuts because there's some.
Wait. So the thing about Dalton, when Badge brought up Dalton, right? Dalton comes back after that and he was asked about the fans booing him. And he's like, didn't hear anybody booing after that 75-yard touchdown pass. Like, who the fuck are you, bro, dude? Like, how do you even rate? How do you even rate to talk like that? Like,
you're talking about the pass that Rodney Adams made?
Motherfucker, man. Like, that part pissed me off. He's like, well, nobody was booing after I threw 75 yards.
I mean, I kind of feel bad for Dalton, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he came in
here. He acts like he moonshotted that shit.
They're like, you're the starter. And then, obviously, Justin Fields has shown that he's the better quarterback. And then Andy Dalton just at every turn is getting asked, like, why do they hate you? And he's just got to sit up there and be like,
nobody hates Andy Dalton. He's in a situation. It's everybody is dying to see what our number one draft pick at number 11 overall can do when he gets on this field. And yeah. I mean, that should be completely understandable from this organizational standpoint. And, you know, I was reading an article this morning. I mentioned it earlier from BDR Ozzie, A Bear Down Under. And he went back and quoted a Nagy from a Peter King article earlier this year talking about Fields' development and how, you know, they really weren't going to deviate from that plan, you know, unless it was something, you know, really highly important or whatever. So I just don't think they're going to do it.
I mean, I feel like we've been talking quarterback for 40 minutes, man. They're going to do what they're going to do. They don't give a fuck what we got to say. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Barelissimo, I saw that in the chat where he said Paces had five quarterbacks and Nagy because Nagy can't make one work. I agree with that completely. I feel like I know Mikey. You came on here and you were talking about, you know, Pace. Pace, why is he still here? I feel like Pace has done a decent job. I'm not as I'm not as down on Pace as I am on Nagy. I feel like Nagy's system doesn't work. He knows how to talk to people, and he's got a silver tongue. But as far as his system and making stuff make plays work and wide receivers getting open, I just feel like it doesn't work. And the only place we've seen it work is Kansas City under Andy Reid. I mean, we saw Philly do it for 1 year to get a Super Bowl, and other than that, it's who's been a good coach after leaving under Andy Reid. You don't see it.
I agree with you. Okay. I agree with you that he's done a decent job, but I feel like Bears fans have fallen under that, you know, like, okay, we can accept decency. We can accept mediocrity because it was way better than what we had before. I want a GM that's going to make the right moves 95% of the time, 80% of the time, if anything. At least, you know what I'm saying? I want mm-hmm. greatness. I want to see the Bears, you know, back. I want to see them good. I don't like decency. I do like Pace. I do like him. I'm still like teeter tottering on if I want him or not. Like I don't know. But you're gonna have your third coach, and the first one, okay, I get it. Oh, well, I didn't get to make the hire. But the second one, we let you make that hire. I just feel like Pace is way too quick on all his decisions. Like, oh my gosh, Foles is on the market. We gotta go get him. Here's a fourth round pick. Oh my gosh, there's Andy Dalton. Oh, we gotta go get him. Like, dude, just chill out. You know, look at. We have Quinn, right? The guy came here because of a coin toss. If I found out that guy came here because he won a coin toss, I would take the contract back right away. I'd be like, bro, get out of here. You don't even care about this. Because it was between him and us and the Falcons, right?
Yeah.
You guys not going to play for anything. I just – he's way too quick on his decisions. He has made a lot of right moves. But to me, it's like, dude, you got to make more right moves than wrong moves. And I feel like right now it's like 60-40 and – decency, yeah, he's decent. He is making decent moves.
I can see that. The way he kind of outbids himself on certain plays. I mean, he moved up, traded away draft assets to go get the third best, maybe fourth best quarterback in that draft at number two. And, yeah, I can understand that. But,
right.
I mean, when we came from Phil Emery, who all of his draft picks were out of the league before they got another contract, to – Ryan Pace, who's finding fourth and fifth round gems. I mean,
yeah, I think I like Pace, dude. I think Pace is done great fucking job. I get the overpaying, right? Like, of course, that could be questionable, but I don't think that there's guys get overpaid every year, you know, and there's guys that are busts and whatever, right. But the magic that he's pulled off in the later rounds, I think, is what secures him a job for a long time.
See, my thing with Pace is I have a love-hate. Like, there's been moves he's made that I've been like, God damn. Like,
who wouldn't got Mac? I love it. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, yeah, it's a no-brainer, right? You know? And then there's other things that he's done. And it's funny because, like, you look at, like, his number one draft picks. Like, you look at Kevin White. You look at Mitch. Leonard Floyd. You know? And those were high draft picks, obviously, first rounders who didn't amount really to a ton. I mean, I think Leonard mm-hmm. Floyd probably had his best season as a pro last year, but it was, what, year five in the league at this point? You see Kevin White bouncing around here and there, you know.
I thought Kevin White was all injuries, but now, even now, he's not. He's not being able to stick with the team, and it doesn't seem to be because of injuries now. It's just
– So, I think and here's the hard part. So, Pace goes out. He identifies Kevin White, top prospect, so on and so forth. Kevin White gets put in an offense, and come to find out he wasn't really a full route runner. Well, to me, that's something as a scout, general manager, who – you know, does this for a living, mm-hmm. if he couldn't run the route tree, that's something I think you would want to know and would hold some weight into mm-hmm. where a player like that is drafted. And he was, what, the number seven overall pick and couldn't run the full route tree?
I don't
know. Yeah, that was just the West Virginia offense. They just – that's just the way they used him.
I mean, that was Pace's – I give him a pass on White, dude. That's the beginning of his GM career almost, right? Like the beginning of his picks and him, who knows, him trusting in a scouting staff that maybe wasn't that fucking great.
And if you go back to that pre-draft, everybody had Kevin White going that high. Everybody thought he was going to be a stud because West Virginia just told him, hey, run straight and I'll throw it up. And Kevin White would just outrun everybody, which that's Big 12 football. So there's that. But
well, what do we see moving forward? That's my thing is like, what here, let me ask you guys, what is your guys', each of you, what are your predictions for this year's record?
I think Nagy's out week 7 or 8.
And we Nagy's out week 7 or 8?
Yeah.
You're going to fire the
Nagy's
coach
out?
Next
season?
Damn.
Yep. I'm firing the, well,
I'll be surprised if Dalton's out week 7 or 8. I don't think Nagy's going anywhere, honestly. I think we're fucking bought into this, man. I think, and I said it last year and the year before and all that. I honestly just don't think that Nagy is going anywhere anytime soon. I think Fields bought him another fucking 3 years easily until Fields is the starter. That's it. And he's got the, you know, whatever, the wool pulled over the eyes of the organization to where, you know, they have faith and they believe in this dude. I get it. If you look statistically, right. And if you look offensive production, statistically record, sure. Nagy's done better than previous coaches in the past, but what are we really grading off of? When's the last time we were to a fucking Super Bowl? Like what is the grading scale here? Are we saying like, well, this guy was a little better than the guy we had before, so let's fucking go in with him for the long haul, right? I have a feeling like just above average is the fucking bar. And unfortunately, that's what this organization has laid out. Like, we need you to be above average and you can stay. Like, why? Why can't we just be fucking great? Terrible.
Yeah, it's like Badge said earlier. I mean, just making the playoffs has saved this guy's job. You know, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I
well,
don't
look
know.
At the job.
Well, that's always a
coming
flex.
Back
yeah.
from a 6-game losing streak. Oh my God, have you ever
did
seen
he
a
fucking
turnaround like that?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of
here. Maybe
game
he should go.
We were so enamored.
Maybe he needs to go back to trick plays, man, because that's all that really works
like,
for this dude.
Yeah,
you need
like,
to go back
I
to
just,
kindergartners, dude. He's got to get out of here.
Selling fucking homes and shit. Because, I mean, so we know
exactly.
as Bears fans. I know guys take, you know, people think that they'll see a coach fired by the Bears organization midseason. I just don't see them ever doing that, ever. I just don't. So, and to be honest, I'm in Bobby's camp here. I really believe that these guys will be extended for, I don't know, maybe 3 years, could be two. Unfortunately, because I believe that the clock starts on Matt Nagy when Justin Fields becomes the starter. And you've seen reports and you've seen articles this week that it's a really good possibility we may not see Justin Fields this season. And as Bears fans, if the team does not play well, it's going to be tough to sit here again and watch a shit show week over week.
And then come on here and talk about it.
and then have to come
exactly.
and try to entertain me, with basically me yelling the whole time because I'm so pissed off about it. My expectation for this season is not very good. My expectation is, and it has nothing to do with Andy Dalton as being the starter. It really has to do with, I don't trust this offense in any way, shape or form, no matter who the quarterback is, who's playing at any position. I think the offense is a shit show. And my mantra for this season is shit show. I think we will show up Sunday night football in LA, and I think the Rams will put up a 40 burger and we might score 13 points. So my outlook for the season under this Matt Nagy led coaching staff and coaches who have been here and haven't improved players in their positions. Yeah. I honestly, if we have 6 wins, I'll be shocked.
The total Bears thing to happen is going to be the same thing that happened against Green Bay that one year. We're going to come out, beat the fuck out of them the first half. Dalton's going to look fucking fabulous. Everybody's going to be like, oh my God, oh my God. And then we're going to blow it at the fucking end. And then there's going to be all this belief that Dalton can do it. And it's the total Bears thing. But Mike, let me throw this back into your court real quick. And let's play off of the whole Mikey Betts style here. Over under on wins this season.
Let's go.
What's the over under on wins this season? And then we'll go whether or not we believe it's over or under.
The over under right now is at 7.5.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's at 8. Yeah. I'm going under, dude. I'm under.
I'm going over. No, I'm going over. Okay.
With Dalton starting on that one. The whole season? Dalton starts the whole season. You're going over?
No, he's not
going
to start the whole season.
Okay.
He's not going to start the whole season. There's no way. If these guys want to save their job, it's not going to happen. Like, I just, dude, there's no shot. There's no shot. Zero shot that he starts all 17 games. No way. I can't see it. Do you guys actually see if he starts all 17?
I don't know, man. I think it's a possibility just out of straight fucking Nagy's damn stubbornness and thing to, you know what I mean? To be like, you know, whatever. I don't want him to. I literally don't even want him to start a single week. But here we are.
Here we are. It's just miserable.
And the worst thing that could happen for everybody who wants to see Fields on the field is Dalton strings together, you know, maybe he's 2-3 by week 5. They're going to stick with him. I think it literally has to be 0-3, 0-4 in order for fucking Fields to start.
I mean, this week 2's the Bengals, so they're gonna.
That's
Dalton's revenge game, baby.
Yeah,
it's going off.
If you see Fields, it won't be before week 3, unless and I hope it does. I would hate to see Andy Dalton hurt, but the only way you see Justin Fields, I think, before week 3 is if Dalton is injured. If you don't see him by week 3, I don't know that you see him.
Yeah,
I think they have a good chance of going 2-2 in the beginning of the season, and then they have that flip game, right? That flip game is always like, where are we going this season? You know what I'm saying? Like, are we going to – we had it when we played Vegas – well, not Vegas, Oakland 2 years ago in London. Remember that flip game? Like, we were 2-2. Oh, yeah. We didn't know where the season's going, and then we ended up losing, and then, like, the season was downhill from then. There's always that 2-2 flip game, and I feel like after that flip game, if it goes bad, you'll see Fields. If it goes good, we'll roll with Dalton until – you know, but I hope that flip game we lose it, and then we could just hand the keys to the car over to
Fields. No, those are my thoughts. Damn Raiders again.
Well, I don't want to lose to the Raiders, but I hope we pass by, or I hope that fucking he sucks. Like, right, like Dalton sucks the first half, and they're like, you know what, throw the kid in, and then that's the flip game. That's the best case scenario right there.
We might be getting tickets to week 3, so I'd love to see it happen that week.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Is there a reason why you guys think Nagy won't? I mean, other than stubbornness, right? And him trying to say I made this decision and this is what we're sticking with. Is there a reason why? Because I've seen it a couple times this week that you think Nagy doesn't like spell Dalton every now and then and throw Fields in for a drive or whatever, and kind of, I won't say like the Saints style that they did with Breeze, but like a here and there where Fields comes in for a few plays or whatnot.
I'll bring up the Saints game last year when Foles was the starter. And they brought Mitch in for one play for him to carry the football, and he fucking hurt his shoulder. So, I mean, granted, it's a freak thing or whatever, but to me, if they're doing that, that's telling me that they literally have zero confidence in Andy Dalton. And if they have a group of plays for Justin Fields, then just fucking play the guy. Come on.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it shows zero confidence, because do you believe that Peyton has zero had zero confidence in Breeze?
No, but it's a different situation. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback
for a deep ball.
You know that you have a Hall of Fame quarterback now.
Don't you diss fucking Andy Dalton? I'm just kidding.
I got nothing against Andy Dalton. I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not, you know, a fucking quarterback guru, but I don't think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But to me,
he's a Hall of
if
decent.
You're putting in groups of plays right. for another quarterback, come on. Like, what? Just lay the fuck. He's better. Well, he's better. That's the bottom line. He's fucking better. Son of a bitch.
The simple answer to this question, you don't have to look any further than trying to make up something or say that you can see this way. The simple question, simple answer to this is no, because they didn't do it with Mahomes. You have to look at the model. The model was start the fucking veteran, let the rookie sit, learn the offense. That man didn't come in until the last week of the season when the Chiefs had already wrapped up the damn playoffs. And wrapped up their spot. Yeah. That's the only reason why Mahomes even saw the field. So the simple question is
Yeah, but you're comparing this to Alex Smith.
That's what they compared Andy Dalton to. That's what they compared
Smith
Andy
Dalton
like to.
Smith had won like 11 games this season prior.
Yeah, how is he compared to All-Pro? How is he compared to an All-Pro Alex Smith? That's what I don't understand.
And that's the problem that we have. He's being looked at like he's Alex Smith, and he's not. This man doesn't have the cachet that Alex Smith had in the latter part of his career. But
who's
that's
the
model
the
that he's going for.
Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn. More like Matt Flynn than Alex Smith, by all means. And you know what? My problem with Nagy is he reminds me of Jim Boylan so much. I don't know if you guys are Bulls guys, but Jim Boylan, when he would always throw that, well, I used to play with Popovich in San Antonio, and trust me, I know what I'm talking about. When you're calling a timeout down, you know, 20 with 2 minutes left, it doesn't make sense. Like, that's what Nagy does. He calls these, it's third and two, and you're going to run down the middle once again after first, and, you know, it didn't work the second time, the third time, and then it was a fourth and two play. He runs the same exact play. It doesn't work. Go figure. And then he'll throw, well, you know, the reason we're doing this plan is because Kansas City. If I hear Kansas City one more time, this is not Kansas City, my friend. This is Chicago. I hope you wake up and recognize it, because maybe that visor is a little too tight, but you need to understand that this is not Kansas City. You got to find other plans. He's just so hard-headed. He's a control freak. I can't stand it.
I totally agree with him, man. I think all of us are on the same page that Nagy doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And just countless decisions like this. There's no developmental of anybody. There's no just a year after year shit, right? And like I said, he's better than previous. So there's this buy-in of he's there. I don't know. I think
don't forget the coke there, George.
He said Nagy is gace without crazy eyes.
Take it easy, yeah. Dude, those things are
bad. When it comes to the offensive play calling, I don't even know if Gase would have fucking not started Fields, though. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Maybe you know what? Gase might have traded Fields, man.
At least,
How do you go to your team and say Andy's going to start Week One?
This
like,
is our guy.
How do you do that and like? Think that these guys are going to be like, coach knows what he's doing.
I would do like, silent protest. I would do silent protest. Like, oh, just don't even talk to me. I wouldn't talk to anybody. If I was Khalil Mack, I would, you know, just do silent. Like, if I thought that Khalil Mack, I would have the whole team just do silent protest and just like, I don't even know, but like, force their way to get Justin to start. Be rebellious.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't see him playing for them. I really don't see them playing for them.
A fantasy football league that is doing some really, really awesome stuff here, and you know that's one of the main reasons we brought Mikey on. So let me give you a little bit of details about the league. So the Mikey Betts League is a 10-man league, which consists of writers, reporters, and content creators around the nation, like Barstool Sports is Frank the Tank, the Philly Godfather, Gary Sheffield Jr., and many more. And the purpose of this league is to donate half the pot to charity and raise awareness to the charity that they're going to donate to. So, Mikey, I think this is a great thing. You know, any opportunity to raise money, to donate it to a charity, you know, that's what part of this show is all about. We do a segment on this show called Badge of Honor, and we try to incorporate football and the Bears into that segment. And, man, this is awesome what you're doing, dude. Fantasy Football League. 10-man league, you got some big guys coming in there. And tell us a little bit about, you know, how this is all going to work and how you guys are going to decide your charitable organization that you're going to raise funds for.
So basically, well, I appreciate you giving us that nice little shout out. I appreciate it. But yeah, basically, you got to just screenshot yourself listening to either any Barroom Network show or any one from just the Barroom Network. Screenshot any Barroom Network, post it on your story, and mention us, but mention the Barroom Network or Mikey Betts, and you'll have a chance to win, so chance to get in. And your league fee is covered already. We cover the league fee. The thing is the winner of the league gets to pick the charity we donate it to. So we don't really know what charity we're going to donate, since this is our first year, we don't know what charity we're going to donate it to yet. Until we get a winner. And I think that's the best part, is the winner gets to take half the pot and donate it. Yeah. So
that's great.
It'll be fun.
One of your competitors, one of your competitors is in the chat right now. Joe Mandel said, if I win, I'm doing all my winnings. Dude, this is freaking awesome. So tell us a little bit about some of these guys that you have in the league, you know, from Barstool Sports, like Frank the Tank. You know, are these guys good fantasy football players, or, you know, is there a shot for somebody like Joe, who has a fantasy football show, could come in and really dominate this league?
Man, what a shot at Joe.
Everybody
there,
has
man.
A real shot. Yeah, seriously.
Are these guys good fantasy football players, or is there a shot for a guy like Joe? That was fucking low. Go ahead, Mike.
Dude,
I'm in
the league with Joe. Yeah, he called you a bum. Trash. He called you a bum, right?
I mean, y'all know we call him Average Joe Mandel. It's not.
Yeah. Free charity right there. Thanks again, Joe. I appreciate
it. Roster with Adam Rank. I was like, damn, he's got a good roster. Shit, that means I'm going to lose all my money.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I don't know how he had that lineup with all, like, I think he had Cooper Kupp on there. I don't know. It was a really good lineup. Yeah, it was really good. And by the way, Cooper Kupp is going to be sneaky good this year, especially with Matt Stafford. Just want to throw that little shout out in there for him. But Barstool Sports, Frank the Tank, he's great. He knows everything. He actually has a website called SportsEncyclopedia.com that Barstool bought from him, and the guy knows every little fact about everything when it comes to fantasy football. We have the Philly Godfather, who is pretty big in Philly. He's like I think he's locked out in three casinos because he broke the bank on them. It's crazy. And he wins in fantasy every year. I think he's a five-time champ in his other league. I don't know how good that league is, but he was flexing that the whole time. Gary Sheffield Jr., that's a homie of mine. He's going to hop on and do the league. I don't know how good he is, but he talks a lot of shit, I'll tell you that. And I don't know. We'll see how he does. Yeah. But it's
gonna be
fun.
If all you got to do is talk shit to be good, I'm the fucking
people have
best.
A chance.
Yeah,
yeah. There you go. Yeah, they're number one. If that were the case, then the Lions would be number one in the NFC North. You know what I'm saying? Like with what's his name? I forgot his fucking name already.
Dan Campbell. You better hide your kneecaps.
No. 17-time champion Joe Mandel.
Joe's
reflection.
Gonna kick
oh,
my ass
gosh.
Week over week, and I totally deserve it.
So like Joe said, I'm probably going to be donating all my winnings to whatever charity I pick when I win. So just so you guys know, that'll be the case. But you guys have – the listeners have a chance to, you know, to win. They just post a screenshot of them listening to anything on the Barroom Network. Or even leave a review too. Appreciate that. That's not how you guys win, but got to say it. And, just do that. Post a story, mention us, and then you get your chance to get in. Hopefully we can – make it fun and get the listeners involved too.
Yeah, for sure. Mikey, for everybody that's in the chat listening now, tell them about your show, man. Tell them about what, you know, what you do, your show and everything like that. And, you know, kind of give them a brief, you know, quick overview of everything that you're going to bring, especially with football season coming up, man, everything that you plan on bringing to the table and what, yeah, you know, where they can find you.
Appreciate that, Bobby. So I have a show. It's called The Mikey Best Show. We've had a lot of good guests on there, like Rod Blagojevich. Somehow he's came on. Jim McMahon's been on. And we just talk bullshit, Bears, bets, baseball, anything that starts with a B, Bulls, of course. Brews, everything. We talk so much, but we really focus on gambling when it comes to football. I have a separate website called MikeyBets.com where you can pay for premium picks. Pretty cool. But I throw out free plays every day on my Twitter, so you guys make sure to check that out, at Real Mikey Betts. We do a lot of content on there, and the show is basically, it's just a fun show. It's a place to escape when you're having a long day or traffic fucking sucks, and you want to listen to something funny, get off your mind. Tune into the Mikey Betts show. It's an escape from, you know, just all the bullshit you see in the world right now. And that's all it really is. And if you're a fan of Chicago, you'll love it. I don't know, I got some listeners in Philly and New York, but Chicago, I basically talk about the most because I'm a rider for the Bulls, and my number, like all time rankings for me is Bulls Bears. It's tied right there, and then I'll do. I know you guys are gonna hate me, but New York Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan too, so got to do that. Oh, got to no shout shit. Them out.
Got some Wildcats up there on the Knicks.
Yeah,
I mean, they labeled King Julius, and then they choked in the fucking playoffs. But hey, you know, what are you gonna do? Some teams didn't make the playoffs.
Bulls, Bears, and Knicks. I love misery.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. Check out the show though at Bar Room Network. That's where you find all my stuff. Mikey Betts. Last week we had Max Markham on, who's a really good NFL content creator, and then we had Frank the Tank. This week we're having Jeff Nadeau. Oh, we also had Fred Huebner on last week, but we're having Jeff Nadeau and one of the Sopranos content creators. It'll be a good time. So appreciate the shout out too, Bobby.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome, man. Dude. Definitely. We appreciate everything you bring to the network and you know, like just the whole gambling scene, man, blew up, you know, and hopping on
Kentucky about it.
I mean, nobody's gambling on Kentucky, so either
we're not,
way.
No, you know, we're not allowed. The freaking governor is like, no, we ain't voting. We're not gambling down here. I'm like, I can go to any state around us and gamble on sports, but not in my state.
Well, that we can't bet Illinois. We can't bet Illinois teams. You know that in Illinois?
Wow, really?
What? On what
site? Yeah, you can't bet Illinois college football.
Oh, okay.
Try to bet Illinois, NIU, anything. You can't bet them. Sucks.
Wow.
I don't know why. It's a stupid rule. You could obviously bet on the Bears and stuff, but it'll be cool. The many Saints and Mikey Betts. Facts. Yeah, it is strange. It's a stupid rule that the governor put in. So if you want to make a bet on Illinois, you got to drive to Indiana.
Wow.
Stupid.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that, man.
We appreciate it, dude. We appreciate you jumping in, man, and talking with us. And we wanted to really, you know, get the word out about this fantasy football league and the funds going to charity and whatnot.
Yeah, man,
man.
I appreciate it.
You know, we would love to, you know, when the season ends and the time comes, man, we'd love to have you back on, maybe with the winner of the league, you know, and make the big
announcement. And I got to wait till the season ends? No, get it.
No, just for this. You're welcome to come on with us whenever you want, man. We love it.
It was a fun time. It's really sports, fun.
We're all about it, man. So we appreciate you coming on, man, and we look forward to doing this again, brother.
Appreciate you, brother. See you guys and have a good one next week. Go Bears, man.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, Mikey.
We'll try. Thanks, Mikey. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's good dude. You know, good dude and good great intel. Dude. And he is. He's the smorgasbord of sports. You know, like has a little bit of intel on everything, or maybe a lot of bit of intel on everything. And Joe Mandel's pissed in the chat, dude. Mandel's like, those two. We might have to have a celebrity death match between those two. but definitely, Mikey Betts. Appreciate you joining us, man, and bringing it. you know, just great insight and all around. Check out his show, man. Great show, has fabulous guests on there, and just, you know, like you said, it's kind of it's all aspects of sports. It's just a good time and a good listen. So check him out. You know, and he's, you know, week one is next week, boys, and I know we're gonna have Badge, now Joe's, this is the fucking death match show. We're just taking people out.
Yeah.
I totally deserve it.
Is Mule Skinner a Steelers fan? I've seen two comments already, and all he's talking about is Steelers.
Like, I can't see the Benny chat
Snell
today,
was
man.
Dubbed Benny Snell, like the animal of snail in Pittsburgh. Look, Benny Snell came up here and played at Kentucky, and he's our all-time leading rusher. And all-time leading rusher in touchdowns. The guy is not a freaking speed back, but you just let him pound it out and he'll get it done for you. I mean,
there you go, AC.
Double entendre.
He lived in Pittsburgh for 27
years. Yeah, I heard it too, AC. Or I heard it too, KB.
What happened?
Somebody has to take that clip of just let this guy pound it out and he'll get it done for you and just play it with AC.
I'm sorry.
I don't know, man. I mean, so next week, right, we got Sunday night game, which kind of sucks. I would rather have the early game. So we got to wait all day for, you know, for some action. We got to see all these rookie quarterbacks come in and start and see, you know, what they bring to the table and what they do before we get to see anything. I'm not going to go with predictions for next week yet. Let's
move talk
over
about this roster.
Yeah. Let's move over to Danny. I want to move over to Danny T being magically put on the IR. I know the IR changed this. Well, I don't know if it was this, I think it was this year, to where now you can put as many guys as you want. It's only a 3-week thing. And you don't have to designate anybody to come back. You know how you used to have to do it? I wanted to say it was like a month in advance or however early in advance you had to designate somebody to come back. And then if that guy didn't work out for you, it just, you couldn't redesignate. But Danny T, I mean, he played, you know, preseason. He looked okay, I thought. I know Ogletree, I think, had a better camp. You know, but that's, I mean, Danny T's your veteran. Put on the IR. He can't play till week 3. Is this another one of these hidden injury things that, you know, that we've seen this organization do? Or what do you guys think, man? Is this just is it a big loss at this point where Danny T is currently?
I don't know what happened. He played in the last preseason game. And then all of a sudden he hit IR, and I was like, what the hell happened? Like, I have no idea. I didn't see did anything come out and say exactly what he was dealing with, or was it just like they were putting him on IR with knee soreness or something like that? Because, I mean, he's up there in age, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But the entire linebacker, like, they kept 7 of them. They kept everybody at linebacker. That's what blew me. And they kept like 4 corners. Like, that was what I wanted to touch on with this roster, was the amount of linebackers to corners that they kept. Just doesn't make sense to me. Now we might see a move. I mean, I figured we would have already seen a move, you know.
I mean,
kickoff's next week. You would expect to try and get someone in here to clear the COVID protocols, to at least get their head in a playbook for a second and a half before having to jump on the field. I mean,
sorry, man. I was laughing at this comment. I finally opened up comments here, but the factor says Danny T runs like he got shot in the leg.
Damn. Hey, Danny T was all over the place that last preseason game. He made an interception, and they had another pass breakup, and I mean he's up there
with contracts, right? With everything that's going on and all that, and you know, all these dudes that are overpaid and whatever, and then you throw this dude on the IR for 3 weeks, and you know, the base of it is that he's, let's just put it, it is how it is, right? That he's just He's too old. He's not as agile. He doesn't bring to the table what he used to bring to the table. But yet we're still hanging on. I mean, we got guys that we've seen that did, like AC was saying, we keep seven of them. We've seen guys that we thought were a deserved cut was like, yeah, okay, we can do fine without him. Right. And then we've seen guys that we thought were going to make the squad on the offensive side, you know, particularly who made it and then got fucking cut afterwards. Just the whole aspect of everything, you know, like the decisions are killing me almost every day, dude. You look at this and you're like, what the fuck? Like, what happened here? What happened there? And I don't know if, I mean, it starts with obviously Fields, and then it goes with, you know, the wide receivers, with the how many people we're keeping, with Danny going here and there. Like, what the hell is, like, where are we going? Whoa, like, well, what is the way ahead? Right?
Let me ask you this, right? So throughout training camp, right, you saw from people in attendance, you saw from the Bears themselves, talking about some of these defensive backs in practice making plays. But then you get to the preseason game and you're like, what the fuck? Like, they've been making plays in practice, but then don't show up to make plays in a preseason game. You know, granted, it's you're reading tweets, you're not really seeing it happen, but it just seems like maybe for the preseason, they didn't. Maybe it was just getting used to being out there again and so on and so forth. I don't know. I mean, it's the practice thing. Oh yeah. You know, we had a really good week of practice. I'm sure we'll hear that probably in one of the pressers this week before the LA game. I don't know.
I don't even know what to expect, honestly,
to keep seven fucking linebackers for two of them to just play special teams. Right. You're telling me you couldn't find other people to fill those two spots? Josh Woods and Joelie Buniway. I didn't feel they earned a roster spot. To me, those are two spots that could have gone someplace else. And maybe, and I would think they have practice squad eligibility left, where if it got to the, did anybody think they were going to get freaking picked up in free agency? I'm sorry, I didn't.
I mean, with the COVID, you've got the extended practice squad as it is, and I think it allows you to keep even veterans on there if they don't have. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know how the eligibility worked.
Yeah, they definitely changed it, and like guys who had reached the end of theirs got, I won't say extended, but had basically more time put on to where he had to be so many years as a starter and this and that, whatever. I forget how it all breaks down, but I just think the decisiveness of this team is 100% questionable. And I mean, you've seen this defense that, you know, people beat their chest on, and, you know, Mac and how great we were supposed to be, and Roquan and all this, right? You've seen them go up against Buffalo. I think Buffalo is a good team. Buffalo could definitely be a Super Bowl contender, I think.
Absolutely.
Right? But you went against an average Buffalo. You didn't go against 100% Buffalo, and you got your fucking face kicked in. And honestly, granted, we didn't have all of our guys out there either, but the side just looked outmatched, just outgamed. Like, the game was just – he wasn't able to counter. And I mean, we had our starting secondary out there. Well, what's supposed to be our starting secondary, and we got fucking lit up, dude. We got torched. And I know we all like to call Stafford, you know, Matt, you know, Stat Patford and whatever, but that dude will fucking tear you apart when it comes to eating up a secondary. And I don't even know what to think, like, because they've been so, I won't say tricky, but because they keep everything close, you know, close, and they don't like let anything go. Like, is this defense that bad? Are we going to get fucking torched? Are we hiding shit, you know, like injuries and whatever? Like, It's just so much shit out there on the table that I don't even know what to expect week one.
I mean, the cornerback rooms just got awful. We've got Jalen Johnson, who we've anointed as the number one corner, who is a good corner, but he has injury concerns. He was hurt his last year in college, and he got hurt last year. And then behind him, you got Kendall Vildor, who everybody thought was going to step up and be that guy, and he hasn't. We haven't seen it. Someone said in the chat, Mitchell Trubisky picked on him the whole game. Yeah, he did. And we will see that continue. If Mitch knew how to do it, I mean, what do you think Stafford's going to do week one? Behind him, you got Shelley, and then I think they keep Xavier Crawford after that. But that's it. Those are your corners, four of them. You come out in a quarters package, you can't even run it because you got four corners. Like,
I
don't know what the plan is.
Hey, I want to speak on this real quick because I see the comments in the chat. We're talking about preseason, yes, because that's all the fuck we see. We've seen people who are anointed as starters come out and get destroyed by players who are supposed to be second and third stringers. But these are starters. So when we go up against the Green Bays of the fucking world or the Rams who have Cooper Kupp and who's my other man, who Robert Woods, talented wide receivers, and we see them get destroyed, then what is it? Is it just preseason at that point? Because this is all the fucking talent that's on the roster. You have the likes of Jalen Johnson, who, we know is a fucking baller, but the dude is hurt. He's injury prone. Let me say what it is. He's an injury prone player so far. So
and you can't have it looking both at ways.
Thank you. And then the next thing you're looking at is you got Artie Burns. You got Kendall Vildor. Who is the other player on this team that has any kind of extended starting experience that you can literally sit there and say, I believe he can do something if you put him in? We don't have it. That's why you look at why the hell we carry seven fucking linebackers. That's why you look at why the hell are they might be exploring the trade. Who knows? Because you're hearing Bryce Callahan rumors.
Yeah.
You hear maybe we'll trade for Kyle Fuller, which would be the biggest slap in the fucking face as a Bears fan.
But Bryce Callahan's injured as well.
This is the same discussion I had with somebody else, man. You can't turn around and say Justin Fields needs to be the starter because he fucking lit it up in preseason and then say that your defense is okay. Because
it's not about us being defeated. It's about us seeing what we see. You see Justin Fields ball out like my man Bobby just said. You see him play. You say we all sat there and compared this man to Andy Dalton and said he's clearly the better fucking quarterback. Where are the better defensive players? Where are the better fucking corners at? Because we didn't see it during the preseason. That's all we said. Nobody's sitting there acting like it's the end of the fucking world. It's just that we have Jalen Johnson, and then we have a list of people that we don't know shit about. It's not
just the preseason, guys. This is the Nagy tenure that we're this is a it's not just the preseason. This is our thoughts and opinions on what we've seen since Nagy's come in here. And if anybody can sit here and have confidence in what's going to transpire a week from today, I mean, defeated? Jesus, dude, I have zero confidence that this fucking organization can do anything at all. At all, period. It's not even the team. It's the organization that I don't have confidence in. None. I don't trust Matt Nagy to wipe his own ass, let alone go out and get a team ready for a football game. I don't do it. I'm sorry. I can't sit here and pretend everything's going to fucking be okay with this team. It's not. It's a fucking disaster already.
This is where my push for Fields to start is because I think Fields can overcome a fucking lackluster defense or a defense that's getting torched. I think he can keep pace and put points on the board more frequently than Dalton can. I don't think Dalton's going to be able to keep pace with if our defense. So, I mean, we're talking DBs and secondary right here, right? I mean, that was the basis of the discussion. We've seen these guys get torched. And, yes, all the starters were in that secondary on the field. And they got fucking beat up, man. And they got beat up by a second string quarterback. And that's, you can't get around that. I mean, that's what happened. And like, so I think when it comes time to fucking put points on the board, obviously Fields is the guy over Dalton. I think he's going to put more points on the board and open your offense more. But I just think that the defense is really going to be a question this year. And there's a lot of fucking money and a lot of contract put into those dudes. And I think there's the holes. Yeah, there's some shutdown guys in places. 100% agree. But where you have holes is where you're going to be fucking beat up at. And I think the holes in those positions are just too great.
I give Torian credit for giving the Bears 6 points before the fucking half, because I think it'll be a fat fucking zero. So, you know, kudos to Torian for having more confidence than I do, but I don't expect this offense to score any points in the first half coming out week one.
I'm going to say the trajectory, just seeing my man's play with Andy, like they said, man, who knows? Maybe he does come out and light the fucking world up. Who fucking knows? I'm not predicting that because I've seen what I've seen on the field. I've seen the product. The man couldn't move the ball, and outside of a lucky throw, I ain't going to say lucky, an amazing catch by Rodney Adams and a hell of a play that he made after making that catch. I've seen nothing out of Andy Dalton. I mean, it is what it is. Nobody's predicting the doomsday. We see the state that the team is in. And to be honest, it's not like the state of the team is in an amazing place. I've seen people that have been cut by other teams that I would have loved to see us bring in. I've been singing the song of Gary and Connolly since the fucking before the preseason even started, before football even was even started. Hell, I don't care if he's coming back from an injury. Hell, bring the dude in. He's a former first round pick.
Everything's gone to shit since Mark Sanchez left.
God damn you, right.
But, he was the glue holding it together.
I said, I seen I can't even say the guy's name. He played for Houston at first, and he went to Miami last year. Bendrick McKinney. He's still decently young inside linebacker. I would have loved to see them take a shot at him because to me, Chris Jones didn't really pull his weight this fucking preseason either. I'm not an advocate of starting with seven fucking linebackers, but shit, trim the fat, bring in other people. You can cut Rodney Adams and bring Rashard Perriman in. You can definitely cut Christian Jones and bring in fucking McKinney. Yeah. Hell, he might be younger than fucking Christian Jones. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. The state of the defense is in flux, man. The state of the offense, to me, is in flux because Andy Dalton started. But it is what it is, man.
And that's why I said Nagy, week 7 or 8, out the door. Needs to be. If he goes through another six-game losing streak or a four-game losing streak, I've fucking had it. I'm done. I don't care how we look. And I'm sorry if the chat came in here to be uplifted and us to take them to church on Sunday. We're telling facts. We looked at the game. We see who's available. We see the moves they're making, and none of it adds up to us. It's like saying 2 + 3 = Jell-O. It's not working.
It's like my boy, the little baby, said 1 + 1 = 3. I can't support your personal needs.
Dude, I mean, so look, I know we shit on the cornerbacks and we shit on the secondary a bit. The secondary can be great if we get pressure up front. They can be. And I do think that we have a great front seven. But I just think when you go into this with the question marks that you have, right, different moves could be made. The front seven could save the day, obviously. If the pressure is there and they're fucking beating people, but that a lot of that relies on Goldman being him, right? On Hicks being Hicks, on Mac fucking beating these double teams and coming through. You know, on Quinn actually earning 10% of his fucking salary. That's where it all comes down to, I think. And yeah, the secondary can be good, but if there's any time for a play to develop, which we all know there's gonna be at least some here and there, there's the question marks are too big. And to put it all together, there's going to have to be some disguises. There's going to have to be some, you know, I mean, Matt Stafford doesn't have 3 fucking years in the system. but he's the starter. So let's see how he does in fucking LA, right? And I don't know, man. I just think that the question marks are there. Do I want the Bears to win? Absolutely. Do I think they could pull it off? Not unless you're going dink and dunk with Dalton, right? And actually feeding Montgomery the ball. In order for that to happen, Matt Nagy needs to change his game plan. And I don't feel that's going to happen.
And real quick, because I got the energy today. Don Burke, our resident Lions fan, that's here more than I am. So that tells you something. listen, Linda, listen. Y'all first round tackle already looking like a bum. He's gotten his ass beat by the second or third string guys all day. Breshad Perriman legit asked for y'all to fire him so he can come play for us. That was y'all best wide receiver. Who else is in y'all wide receiver court? Like, chill out, dog. Listen, I love the banner. I love that you in the chat more than most Bears fans are, man. But I need you to chill out, bro. You a Lions fan. Y'all at the bottom of the division. I need you to chill out, my guy. Just want to let you know that, man. I had to give him his shout out because, like I said, he's here more than I am. My man is a worker that sits outside the store and looks in through the windows, and he don't even work there. That's what Don Bird is. I just had to give him a shout out, man, because, like I said, I got the energy for the shit today.
shit, man. Torian put it right here. We have a stretch of Green Bay, Tampa Bay, the Niners, Steelers, and Ravens. Hmm. We have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL this year.
I think we have the hardest.
What about that? Well, shows having confidence in this team.
I don't know, man. Like, I hate coming on here and being bringing everybody down, but when I saw the roster moves they made, I was like, what are we doing? And then when I saw we only had four corners, I was like, okay, maybe they're going to make a move. There's, I don't know, Richard Sherman's out there. I know he's 35 or whatever, but he's still pretty good. And DJ Hayden, who was a former first round pick of the Raiders, he's out there. And then, like KB said, Conley's out there. So I thought, okay,
my man from the Jaguars,
cut these guys and bring in some other guys and we'll be okay. But they have not made a move. I don't know what the plan is, other than Dalton starting and praying to God that your front seven gets home. Yeah. All right.
It's game week. So you essentially would want to have whoever's you're expecting to play this week already in the building, mm-hmm. because your game plan, I mean, you heard Nagy and his presser. We've 3 days off, and then Monday we're on to LA. So you would think there's nobody else out there that could help in that cornerback room. Yeah. I find that really hard to believe, man.
I named three people right there off the top of my head. I don't get it, man. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. We need O-line help too, and there's some right tackles out there like Ricky Wagner. I've talked about Schwartz this offseason, but after the way he talks about Nagy, I don't see him coming in. But
he called bullshit. He ain't even picked up yet.
Right. You got Ricky Wagner out there who is arguably better than Ifedi is at right tackle. For some reason, I keep seeing Mustafa getting shit on, and I just think Mustafa's – I think he's fine. But I don't know if they would want bring Wagner in at right tackle, slide Ifedi into a guard position, and then put Whitehair back at center. Then you're shuffling again. And I don't know, man. There's free agents out there that can help this team, and I feel like they're just sitting on their hands. They're just happy to be here. I don't know. Is there a delay I talk? Because after I talk, I feel like there's always like a couple of seconds before someone else talks.
We're processing. We have to process everything that you're saying because it's
do I need subtitles for my country-ass accent? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, man, when I hear you talk, I close my eyes and I do this.
KB's on one today, man. He got that flag flying in the back, looking patriotic as fuck, you know, ripping on Don Burr.
I'm coming into my second shift, man. You know what I'm saying? I worked the 24 before this, but I'm working the 24 today, so I'm on the halfway point of my 48-hour shift. Shit, I got some shit to talk.
Man, I don't know. I mean, granted, we all want what's best, right? We all want what's there. And sometimes we're 100% wrong in what we decide or what we think the move should be, right? I mean, that's why we say the fanless part.
Fanless.
Because there's things that we want. There's things that we'll beat the table for. And you know what? Sometimes that's the dumbest shit that could fucking happen. And it doesn't work out right. But right. every now and then we get lucky and it's correct. Yep. And
I haven't heard anything about Montgomery not being healthy. Yeah, they just didn't want to use him all preseason, I guess.
I was gonna say with him getting hurt that first drive in that first game, I think they kind of just said, you know what, man, go ahead and sit down.
Yeah, and
we don't.
Hopefully that's because his workload is gonna be fucking enormous, right? Because yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the saving pieces that we all believe in that can really adjust this game plan and change it up. But then again, like we've said, that takes Nagy to do so, right? And then special teams. I mean, we can hit special teams really quick if you want, but it's going to be a whole nother negative conversation. So right. Maybe we save that for next week. Because
let me say this about special teams.
Sure.
I mean, in those preseason games, that's a lot of your undrafted guys, a lot of your, you know, second and third team guys who – most of these guys probably haven't even played special teams since high school. So now they've got to come back into the NFL, and if they want to get on the field, they're going to have to do this. You've seen it in the last couple of years with Tabor. The special teams units in the preseason didn't look good, and by the time, you know, week one or week two rolled around, they were better. Yes, there I think has been some issues during the season too. Obviously, you can talk until we're blue in the face about the kicker. I'm not a big Chris Tabor lover. I don't really feel he's I'm just not a Chris Tabor fan, but I'm not concerned with special teams as much as I am the offensive side of the football. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And I agree with you, man. You can't really judge what you've seen on the field because a lot of these guys, that was their only playing time, and some of them are no longer on the roster anymore. So I'll 100% agree with that. You can't really judge preseason special teams because it is kind of like
Santos is fine. O'Donnell is fine. We got Brian Johnson back on. Right.
That was nice. To me, I think it's huge. The fact that somebody hasn't grabbed him up shocks me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll be here with you every Sunday morning throughout, and we'll get this thing done, man. And hopefully we have some success to talk about and a lot of things to bring to the table. Hopefully
we'll be previewing Sunday Night Football next week.
You know what I mean? Scan it. Yeah, you know, and we appreciate all you guys joining us in the chat, man. And even like, it's okay, we can disagree. We can disagree on shit. You can disagree with us.
Absolutely.
We can disagree on shit. That's the way we want it, man. Nobody's telling you that like this is whatever. This is basically just what we see or what I see, and all of us don't even fucking agree all the time. So it really doesn't matter. Like we said before, if you're going to any of these games, or if you're gonna be, you know, live at a game, or whatever, hit us up from your tailgate. Hit us up on your way in. I don't care if it's like fucking loud and whatever. Just hop in for a minute, say what's up. Join us from the game on scene. All four of us will be attending a game, which I need to buy my plane ticket for. But yeah, we'll be heading down to see a little. Hopefully, Jay Fields taking the field, but you know, who knows how that's going to work out. Yeah, and we'll go from there. But let's kick it around the room. Let's get these shout-outs in. Let's start this thing off with Mr. Aaron Curran. AC, let's get your shout-outs, man, and let's wrap this boy up.
I'm going first this week. All right.
You're right.
Shout-out to everybody in the chat. Yeah, shout-out to everybody in the chat, everybody on the Ballroom Network. Shout-out to Aldo for giving us this platform to release our anger or happiness, if it comes to that, on our weekly therapy session. Shout out to Mikey Betts for coming on. He's a really cool guy. Shout out to Don Burr. I guess he ain't got nothing else to do. So shout out to you. And shout out to the Kentucky Wildcats going 1-0. Let's go, baby.
I knew it was coming, man. I was waiting for it. I thought maybe it'd be one of the first ones. But either way, let's move it over to Mr. Kirkland Billings. What you got, man?
And like my man AC said, man, shout out to all the fans, man. Shout out to Aldo for giving us this platform, man. Like I said, it feels good to come on here and bet, especially after a long week. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Betts. You know what I'm saying? It's one of my first times talking to the guy, so he's real cool, down to earth guy. And shout out to y'all, man. Like I said, man, we gonna be doing this shit for good, for better, for worse. It's like my boy AC always says, therapeutic. And I can imagine doing this shit with nobody else, man. So love, man, love.
Absolutely, man. Mr. Ryan Badgley, Badge of Honor, what you got, man?
Yeah, man. Shout out to you, Bobby, to Carrie, to Jules, to Lexi, to Audrey, all you guys freaking dealing with the COVID crap.
Dying, just man. Hoping,
you know, yeah, man. Like, been there, done that. So happy you guys are happy. Clovers, I love this comment, man, about Buffon having a coronary at halftime of the Rams game. You know, if makes that's sense. One of the shows that'll go live during the regular season, at halftime, you'll have Aldo and John Buffon and Tyler Ellis, the Gaines Report. So definitely going to want to tune in for that. And then they'll also be on the post game next week. But anyway, the chat, man, we love doing this. Like, we love being able to interact with you guys. We have a blast, you know, reading your comments, going back and forth. It's so much fun. And I want to announce that next week we will have our first Badge of Honor of the season. Ed Yakaki is a 4-time cancer survivor. And this guy, man, I mean, is just an inspiration. And you're going to get to hear his story next week. And Ed's a huge Bears fan as well. So we're going to talk, you know, some Bears Rams with him as well. And I'm excited to have him on and present him with a Badge of Honor for next week. Huge shout out to KBAC, our man Mikey Betts, hopping on with us this week. They got a great fantasy football charitable thing going on. So you can check that out. Just all you got to do is listen to a Barroom Network show. Send it to Mikey Betts at Real Mikey Betts. And I mean, you can get in on that too. So looking forward to next week, even though we're not confident, we're still going to bring it to you like we do week over week.
We'll probably there at least be two of us that pick the Bears to win. So either way, that's the way shit goes. Hey, definitely.
You know, Bobby's got us going 17 and up.
I just want to say, also on the shout outs, man, I want to give a shout out to, you know, saying an old friend or whatever of the show, man, Shane Marsaw, man. Fuck all the beef, fuck everything else that's going on with whatever drama, whatever the shit is, man. Just say a prayer for the man's family, man. I'm not gonna put his business out there more than what he already has. If y'all ever want to know, I'm pretty sure y'all can find a way to get in touch with him. Just say a prayer for his family, and that's it, man. Just keep me prayers, because they're going through a little bit of a tough time. So
definitely,
absolutely.
Riley Strong, our prayers are with the Marsaw family, of course, man. Shout out to everybody in the chat that brought it today: Clovers, Don Burr, Torian, Brian, Skinner, Calvin, Pusha T, the Skinner. You know, Mule Skinner's in there, and just everybody who joins week in, week out, man. Mr. Mac for the win. All you guys, Seven Brew, I'm just going through, man. You guys all bring it and keep this thing lively and going, and we definitely appreciate it. Shout out to Mr. Mikey Betts for joining us today. Check him out at MikeyBetts.com. Check out some of his gambling. You know, if you want to get on there, you want to get on the scene, start throwing it in, man. And yeah, like Badge said, you know, my family, dude, we've been hurting this last like 2 weeks. This whole area that we live in, there was 160 kids quarantined from school once the first week of school started again. The football team quarantined, the soccer team, cheerleading, every fucking sports team that the high school had was basically quarantined. My wife just got out of the hospital yesterday, so shout out to her. Love you, babe. You know, it's trooper out there fighting, man. And then, you know, we just all came down with the fucking sickness, man. And it's like the fucking vaccination doesn't even matter over here because everybody's up in the hospital or whatever. So big spike in this area. So all the friends and everybody around here that, you know, that was recently diagnosed and is fighting. Now the cough comes at the perfect time. You know, my bad. Get it. You know, and shout out to the Barroom and everybody, all the shows that are going. I think there's 22 fucking shows now. I can't yeah, even dude. Name. I so can't many name shows. Them all, man.
I know. Yeah. I know. Bulls,
Bears, Bets.
Yes. Yeah, so check it out, man. Yeah, I mean, check them out. Go over there. See what's there to offer. There's plenty there. No matter what your style or forte is, whatever your sport is, the Barroom Network's bringing it. Definitely, like I said, appreciate all you guys joining us. We look forward to next week. I think we're next week. The time changes, Badge.
Showtime. Yeah, next week we are at 9 a.m. That's 9 a.m. Eastern time, 8 Central. I know it's a little early, but hey, we got to welcome back our guys, Joe Mandel and Adam Shum, the Fantasy Football Goon guys. Will have those fantasy rosters ready for you for week one. So they're going to be popping on after us around 11 o'clock.
Yep. So, I mean, it'll get you started. Get your Sunday started. Congratulations on making it through an off season of, you know, and being here for the next one. We got football every Sunday. Shit, we got football every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday, almost all the way to January at least. Baby. And I mean, then we got football all the way to February. So, you know, it's been a rough off season. We made some moves. Let's hope that everything works out the way it does. Let's hope that we come out against the Rams and fucking bear down.
Bear down. Oh.